This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We have the C-Note coming up at 6:20. The Cowboys news of the evening. Everything that's broken, we'll get you caught up on. There was a trade a couple of hours ago. Defensive end Everson Griffin traded to the Lions for a conditional sixth-round pick. So we will have the latest on that and the other Cowboys stories here coming up in 20 minutes. But, yeah, did not work out for Everson, did not work out for the Cowboys. And now I guess this is it an opportunity for Randy Gregory, Bradley and I, yep, and some of the other young guys to get even more snaps. There won't be a veteran. And the Cowboys add to what is becoming an impressive collection of 2021 draft picks as well. What are they up to, 10? They got 10
up
picks
to 10.
Already?
They have 10 picks.
All right, let's do the 32 things we learned from week 7 of the NFL season here for you. It's brought to you by USA Today. They do this every week, and I like to pick out the things that are the most interesting, the most irrelevant for the Cowboys. We talk about them right here. We jump to number 8. This is interesting. Patriots are 2-4 for the first time since 2000. That was Belichick's first year in New England. The natives are not happy in Boston, not happy at all. They're talking about possibly trading Stephon Gilmore. Do you think the Patriots are going to get back to being excellent? Are we seeing the end or just a shifting of gears up there in New England for what's been a dynasty for two decades?
Well, it's not making me happy, Gavin. You know, I wanted to go to my grave knowing it was Belichick and not Tom, but it turns out that maybe awesome quarterback play is the most important thing. And it really hurts my heart because I wanted to condemn Tom Brady as a cheater and dismiss everything he'd ever done and leave Peyton Manning instilled as the GOAT. And we're going to have to rethink that because it appears that perhaps elite quarterback play is what makes you the best.
Yeah, it's a tough one. They're not getting it from Cam Newton. I don't know that Tom Brady's giving Tampa consistent elite play. And I also think that New England did lose the most players. I don't think that. That's a fact. They lost the most players due to COVID. So we can't know for sure until it's a couple of years down the road. Am I naive for believing Belichick can get that thing fixed and turn it around and be really, really good in one off season?
No, I don't think so because he'll take his lumps. They've, for 20 some odd years, they've been the model franchise when it comes to winning games, winning championships, stuff like that, and consistency throughout. So yeah, go ahead and take your swings right now, NFL, because let him get through an off season. Hopefully things will go back to normal where we do have a normal offseason where we have drafts and evaluations and signings and stuff like that. I wouldn't put it past that guy to come back be better and stronger than he was before.
Got to find a quarterback. It got ugly with Cam Newton.
Very well could. All of a sudden they start losing a bunch of games, and they might be right in the mix with you. They might be in that top 8 picking players, And all of a sudden, and then, you never know. But I wouldn't bet against a guy that has a track record like he does.
Okay, number 12, thanks to NFL.com for the stats. Cam Newton's quarterback rating has gotten steadily worse in each of his outings, 100.7 to 94.6, 73.8, 51.6, and now 39.7. How does that even happen?
I do not have the answer to that question, sir.
They're asking him questions at the presser. Does Cam still have side effects from having COVID? Is that why he slowed down after week two? He hasn't had a passer rating over 90. They're looking for any kind of answers up there.
I'll tell you what, man. They were on the cusp of going up to Seattle and winning a game. I'm thinking, man, they got the right quarterback there. But like Mike Lombardi said this on his podcast. He watches the Patriots play every day, every week, and he says that Cam's not even throwing NFL passes anymore. the way the mechanics and the way the ball's coming off his hand, it's not even, it doesn't even look like NFL passes. So
shoulder,
he might be broken down a little bit, but you know, if you're in that mode right now where you're thinking that quarterback's not getting it done, go ahead and play Stidham. You know, it might be a situation where you want to do the same thing that a lot of teams are thinking about right now. We're not very good. We're not going anywhere. Let's figure some things out here.
Cam got benched for Stidham for a little bit in the fourth quarter on Sunday. He said after the game, if I keep playing like that, this will be a permanent change. So, yeah, just 3-4 weeks ago, it looked like Cam Newton was on some sort of a redemption tour where the doubters were wrong and, you know, he should have gotten paid. And now it's like, holy cow, is Cam Newton already done? And here he is, the king of the running quarterbacks, unbreakable, so massive. But those hits that he took from age 24 to 28 might have broken his body to a point that you can't get it recovered playing at an elite level anymore with that style.
Yeah, that's what scouts are saying right now about him, though. Mike watching him every time they go out there.
Well, he's got to have a plan for it then. I don't think you don't take the running quarterback. You just really, really work on making sure he'll be a quarterback that can kill you from the pocket and run. But you can't jump into it saying, well, we're going to run all over the NFL for the next 15 years. He's probably going to get hurt in the rookie contract, get hurt again before he's 30, and around the age 31, 32, you're going to be thinking, is the run already over as quarterbacks are playing up until 40?
You heard Jerry in his conversation with Sean and RJ this morning talk about the running quarterback. You know, he was basically kind of blaming the OC for making him a running quarterback and getting him hurt. You know, that sounded like to me, he was like, hey, you know, you got to know better than that. So
I don't know. I think Jerry's too conservative with that. A quarterback that can kill you with his legs, kill him with the legs. You just got to, you know, I think Dak's biggest thing was he just couldn't get down.
But did not appear like he was blaming Kellen for running quarterback?
I wondered what he was hitting at there, and I'll take your interpretation.
No, I'm asking because you guys are really good at reading Jerry speak. You understand the stuff. I just took it as like, why the hell are we having him run? You know, it's like there was some remorse there by that.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, maybe Jerry feels like that way, but I have been against Jerry on this one for a while.
Oh, sure.
You know, I want him to run, and I thought when they were running right before that injury, that offense was starting to look pretty good.
Yeah.
Right up, and that was the rhythm of runs and passes that really had. Now that's the Giants' defense, but still, number 10, the Patriots' 27-point loss was their worst at home during the Belichick era. They're killing them up there. And number 11, New England didn't possess the ball for even 22 minutes, nor did it enter the red zone at all.
Goodness
on Sunday.
Gracious.
Yeah, Belichick can't leave like this. Then it will look
Well, they've got some problems too at receiver. Julian Edelman, he's looking old. You know, they got some guys that probably have needed not to hang on for one more year.
Julian should probably go stop by his guy, get loaded back up.
Go back to Tampa, make a trip.
No, not that guy. Oh. His guy that, you know, can keep him playing well.
The Robert Quinn guy?
But yes, his Robert Quinn
guy. Might get you suspended every now and then.
Yeah.
Which one of those Patriots receivers got caught with the Molly?
Probably Edelman.
Yeah,
that was him.
That's what I thought, talking about your guy.
Some steroids. He's been, he got some performance in hand. He's had some stuff go on.
He looked like he had some extra muscles.
That's
for sure. Number 13, Brady and Gronk have now hooked up for 92 touchdowns all time. Only Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison have more. That's incredible. I didn't realize they had done that much work together. That's a decently long career, but Gronk's in his early 30s. Brady threw so many touchdowns to him, they're about to catch Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. Number 15, time to punch Pittsburgh's Super Bowl ticket. Sunday's meeting between the Steelers and Titans was only the fifth time in league history two undefeated teams met in Week 7 or later. In the previous four, the winner wound up playing for the Lombardi Trophy. You buying that with the Steelers? They look like the best team in the AFC right now to you guys?
I'll tell you what, though. They let that bunch in Tennessee come back on them, though. They were a 44-yard field goal away from going to overtime there. So, yeah, maybe the football gods are smiling on Pittsburgh now. You know, we'll see here in a couple weeks. We'll see how they steamroll this team. You know,
they've been prone to smile on that team over the years.
They have.
Football gods are partial to Pittsburgh sometimes.
They love that team. They sure do.
Especially when it comes to Hall of Fame nominations. Number 22.
Took their quarterback last year, though.
Yeah. Though the Browns swept the Bengals in two tight games this season, Decent potential. The Battle of Ohio becomes one worth watching closely in future seasons if number one overall picks Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrow are going to put on these kind of shows. Do they have another fun one? Bengals-Browns?
Yeah, it was a pretty good one. And the Browns are 5-2 now. I believe Baker started that game like 0-for-5 with a pick. And then from that point forward, he was perfect, I think. So he's been a roller coaster. That team is as good as Baker is on any given Sunday. So I don't know what that means. If that means that they're really good or if it means that they're going to fall on their face. But from quarter to quarter and game to game, they will go as that quarterback goes.
I'll tell you what, man. Cincinnati had a chance to win that game. The ball goes right over the top of Darius Phillips' hands. I mean, literally, I mean, all he has to do is he catches it, the game's over, knock it away, you know, but man, what a great catch. And, you know, they lose the game, and really the last – Cincinnati's lost several games at the very end. I mean, that's a snake bit team right now.
Well, you're seeing enough in Burrow that you're excited about where they could be headed.
Yeah, every time he goes out, he throws for 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. You know, but he's taking a beating, though.
Not your typical rookie. Yeah, still on pace for over 70 sacks taken. 22A, Mayfield and Burrow combined to throw 5 go-ahead touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. It's a league record. Cleveland wins 37-34. Brown's not good enough to make Baker a bus driver. What do you think? Just, you know, run and play defense? They're good in those departments.
Yeah, they probably are. But I think if you were a Browns fan, the frustrating part is that for stretches and for games, it looks like he can be a lot more than that. And then for games, it's like, wait, why can't you just drive the bus?
Yeah.
Like the throw he made, the game winner, the touchdown with, was there no time left? Or was it like 10 seconds left?
It was like 10 seconds. 14 seconds, I think is what
yeah.
it was. Yeah,
beautiful. The dude can make throws. He does so many weird things that you would not think he would do, especially considering they can block for him. They got okay receivers, but he just has time, drives and quarters and halves where it's like, wait, why can't you just stand in a pocket? What are you doing? Where are you going? So he's weird.
A little too busy there. Not disciplined enough, it sounds like. Number 23, still premature to give Defensive Player of the Year hardware to Cleveland defensive end Myles Garrett, but he's picking up steam. He has now forced 4 fumbles. He leads the league with 9 sacks and has notched at least 1 in 6 straight games, club record. If he maintains his current pace, Michael Strahan's 19-year-old single-season record at 22.5 would and could be in jeopardy. That's how impressive of a season Myles Garrett is having, and a big part of the reason Cleveland believes maybe a sleeper contender season is in the cards for him. The Saints began Sunday ranked 4th in the NFL with a 48.5% conversion rate on third down against the Panthers. They went 12-for-14 on third down. Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, who needs them? You got to be kidding me there with Sean Payton, Drew Brees drawing up a game plan to go 12-for-14 on third down with no Thomas or Sanders. How did he pull that off?
Well, Drew Brees is probably the most accurate quarterback in the history of the league, so that helps. Even though I didn't see a ton of that game, so I don't know if he ever threw the ball down the field because they found a way to make it work where he doesn't. And that's the fun part about NFL offenses now is there's not really a right or wrong. I love that over the last year and a half, Dak became more aggressive and they pushed the ball down the field. But for instance, San Francisco, I think this week Jimmy G had the second shortest average depth of target. So he was throwing the ball basically at the line of scrimmage all day, and he had the highest yards per attempt of the week. So some of these guys are finding a way to scheme easy throws where you can get out there and run and make huge plays, and some of these teams are chunking it down the field, and there's no right way. And with New Orleans, they'll find a way. You got a smart coach, except for the Taysom Hill thing.
Yeah, the Taysom Hill thing is
– I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you've got a really creative play caller and a good head coach and the most accurate quarterback ever. They're making it work.
The number 30 on the list is Cowboys have trailed at least by 10 points in 6 consecutive games for the first time in 59 years.
They'll do it again.
Happened, I guess, in 1961.
They'll do it again.
You think the Eagles blow them out again?
Yeah. It's so funny that they're celebrating this anniversary of that first team, and they're almost as bad as that first team. You know, the expansion. Yeah. They got the expansion pad. I mean, they got it all in their, you know, that history, part of their history, and they're just as bad as that team was.
I think over the next nine games, it's going to no doubt go down in history as the worst team in his in Cowboys history. I mean, you had some strength of the team. They're all hurt. Offensive line, yeah. Quarterback. You know, I don't know if you can find teams that had such few strengths and then they all got decimated and wiped out by injury. And on the other side were a bunch of disappointing free agent signings and a rookie quarterback like DiNucci. Dalton might as well be a rookie quarterback. He looks very rookie-esque with his body language and the way that he's adjusting to pressure without an offensive line. I think this will be the worst Cowboys team ever. I don't think they're going to make it close because even the bad teams, when they play other bad teams, it's like 14-13. Oh, look at this horrible game. The Cowboys make the other teams look like Super Bowl contenders. I think it's going to be the biggest collection of three touchdown defeats in the modern era of football. We got to go. We'll come back with the C-Note. The Cowboys news of the evening is next on The Fan. Welcome back, Nation. It's time for the C-Note. The Cowboys news of the evening. We have a Cowboys trade. That was the big story of the day. And let's get into that here in just a second. The segment is brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels 214-333-3333 or go online to truckrick.com. Yeah, some things you can gamble on here in just a second. Might be surprised with the Cowboys' odds to win the Super Bowl are. But Everson Griffin no longer a Cowboy. You know, in the offseason, we were hearing about Everson Griffin still being available. Seattle wanted him. A couple of other teams wanted him. Cleveland. And it was like, oh, no way the Cowboys could get a guy as good as Everson Griffin here. They just don't have enough cap space. And then he came aboard, and it wasn't for that much money, and they were big expectations. But it did not work for him. I guess the good news is it eventually kind of started to work the last 2 weeks, and he showed enough that created trade value. And now the Cowboys get a conditional sixth from Detroit for Everson Griffin. So
they could go as high as a five. So you're pulling for Everson Griffin to play well in Detroit so that you get a better draft pick. And I do think that the last 2 weeks made this possible, because I think 3 weeks ago you wouldn't have found somebody that would take on Everson Griffin for what, the second half of the year is like $3 million. But the last 2 weeks he's played better, and the Cowboys were able to find a buyer. And so hopefully Griffin goes and plays well in Detroit. You end up with a fifth-round pick, and the Cowboys can throw as much as they possibly can at turning over the defensive part of this roster. So Griffin is step one. Who's step two?
Yeah.
Try them all. If you get a guy whose contract is running out, try them all unless you're going to extend them. Are you extending Cheeto? Are you extending Xavier Woods? Are you extending Jordan Lewis? Are you going to extend Aldon Smith? If the answer is no, get on the phone, baby. It's time to load up these picks.
I think you'd extend Cheeto and Jordan possibly like they did with Brown. It's like, if you're horrible, we don't want you. If you're great, we can't afford you. If you're somewhere in the middle, $3 to $5 million or something, maybe we can make something happen. Is that what's most likely? But, yeah, you know, when Everson Griffin struggled, you were critical of him, Jeff, on film, and he reacted, and it became a huge story across Cowboys Nation. But one of the things he said was, after just 2 weeks, you know, so maybe he's a late starter, maybe he's a guy that really builds himself up, or maybe the coronavirus was something that prevented him from having a good offseason. He felt like he was going to get better. And maybe, you know, he goes to Minnesota and produces so well that that pick does become a five, and it works out for both parties involved. But right now the Cowboys don't have any long-term use for or Everson Griffin, so he is gone, and a six, possibly a five coming back from Detroit. Okay, things you can gamble on for a team this bad. How are their odds not worse to win the Super Bowl? Cowboys are sitting here at 125-1, and you're like, yeah, super long odds. They were just 50-1 last week. But you come down here, the Panthers at 200-1, the Vikings at 300-1, Falcons, Broncos, Texans at 500-1. Then there's three teams at 2,000-1, Bengals, Jags, Giants. They got the Cowboys sitting there at 125-1. I don't know how that computes.
It's the division. Because those other teams don't have a chance to go to the playoffs, even though they're bad, and the Cowboys do. So I think as an odds maker, you got to factor that in. They could be bad, and they could still win accidentally six games, and then you're in the playoffs, so you got a chance. So the worst thing that could happen to Vegas would be You let a bunch of people
get
10,000 to
get
one odds
2,000. Yeah.
on a team that's in the playoffs.
You know, you're making sense there. And then what if COVID hits a couple of your opponents right
yeah.
there in
yeah.
January?
Yeah.
Now the next thing you know, you're paying out a bunch of money. And I cannot imagine it happening. I see those things as much more of a yes-no. But 125 to 1 is still a massive, massive long shot. It is the G-Bag Nation C-Note here, the Cowboys news of the evening on 105.3 The Fan. And Jerry Jones was making a ton of headlines and getting a lot of attention for Cowboys Twitter earlier in the day as Sean Sharif asked him a follow-up question, and Jerry answered, "Shut up and let me answer," and then said, "No," and then went on to say, "Sean, you're not asking me that. I gave you the answer." So he says there's no leadership void, though. That was the big takeaway, other than the explosive back and forth that made national headlines there between Jerry Jones and Sean Sharif. But does it matter right now if this team's good leaders or not? How much does leadership really matter? Aren't we making way too big of a deal out of this? It's nice to know you have the leadership to pull out of adversity. But this is all about you not having any good players. Let's not make it a – that's a disrespect to the idea of leadership.
I agree with you. I think, Brian, you can probably offer the best perspective. But I totally agree. Like, what do you want?
Yeah,
the players are bad.
Yeah, but what Jerry needs to do is, and the more you think about this, you know, if the question about leadership really is about, okay, Jerry, you go watch practice, and, you know, you get a defense that gives up a ton of yards, a ton of points. You know, are you good enough? Probably not. But, you know, are the coaches trying to help these guys? Are the coaches trying to – the coaches doing things? You know, if you see the coaches doing something on the practice field and it's not carrying over to the game, you know, then that's on your players. But if you see them teaching stuff and it's carrying over to the game and it's not – well, where's the leadership there? That's where I think that Jerry, and the more I think about it, the more it's like Jerry has got to be the one that's the leader here. He's got to be the one that's got to step out there and say, okay, my evaluation is I watch practice or I see what they're coaching these guys. See, that's the biggest problem with Jerry is that we talk about the Monday morning meeting all the time, you know, where the coaches say, oh, well, this happened, and this happened, this happened. You know, no, you need to, Jerry, with your own eyes, go and see. He talks about going into the locker room. And this is what I see. I see leaders. Well, what about your coaches? Are your coaches coaching on the field every practice? Every practice, are you seeing, okay, I see this, and now, oh, wait, it's not being executed on the field game day? That's on the players. Because if you believe the coaches can coach and they can teach and all that, where's the leadership there? You know, that's my problem right now with all this. So I think that Jerry – he needs to be, and we kind of want him not to take a hands-on approach, but I think he needs to take a hands-on approach to try and ask these tough questions instead of trying to beat up on radio hosts, you know, beat up on your staff a little bit to get these answers.
Yeah, if you go to the coaches and demand answers and hold them accountable and make them uncomfortable,
right,
they're going to go down the line and make the next people, because now it's my ass. Now it's not a comfortable conversation where I'm dictating on a Monday.
Now it's the
GM looking at stuff and asking me questions.
Right, it's not about and Jerry, we can say he's not a football guy and all these things, whatever, that's fine. But as the general manager, he needs to go out there and watch practice and honestly assess what is being taught. Hey, what are you teaching these guys on run defense? What are you teaching these guys to play in the red zone? You know, give me a report on this. And if he doesn't see it, then now it's like, okay, I get it. You're telling these players what to do. They can't do it. That's on me. I need better players. Or you guys can't coach these guys how to play the scheme, you know, because obviously there is a disconnect there. It's not about leadership. It's about him being a leader, going out and trying to get some answers.
Yeah, holding people accountable, putting pressure on them
not?
To do your job better.
Absolutely.
I think those, if you're going to take that sort of a role and title and responsibility with your organization, I think it's incumbent to hold people accountable, because that sort of, oh, the boss is coming, and did I do my job good enough, and what did I not do? All of that stuff really creates the culture.
Jerry is always going to be told yes. Jerry is always going to be told yes, yes, Jerry, yes, Jerry, yes, Jerry. You know, you need some people to say, no, Jerry, no, Jerry, no, Jerry. And, you know, we saw that in some things with what I was talking about earlier with the Zach Martin, with the trade, with Johnny Manziel. You know, You need people to step up. But he needs to take a hands-on approach and figure this thing out. Whether he could do it or not, because you don't think he's the general manager, but he is the guy that has the title right now, and he's telling us it's stopping with him. You know?
Okay. Yes, sir. Jory Epstein, USA Today Cowboys writer, used to be here with the morning news, tweeted in the aftermath of the interview, worth remembering that this is Jerry Jones' tone 2 days after the Cowboys game. In non-COVID seasons, we spoke to him 20 minutes removed. What might he have said then? That's it. That's an interesting idea right there. And it made me wonder, why doesn't Jerry make himself virtually available? You got Mike up there. You got Dak up there. We're missing out, aren't we? Getting that hot Jerry Jones after the game.
Yeah, because it's chaos. You know, if you ever done the post-game show, trust me, Ari and I listen to chaos because I think the writers have actually said, okay, after the game, everybody gets two questions. And it was very orderly instead of, oh, Jerry, all that you're dealing with. You're like, okay, what's going on?
An order.
An order, please.
They've cleaned that up with Mike McCarthy's daily press conference.
Yeah,
so.
The writers did it themselves. Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Nice job, writers.
Yeah,
it required some sort of organization stuff. So I could see that being a reason. They're just overwhelmed trying to execute it logistically during COVID. I wonder if it was a good season if he'd want to be talking more. Like if they're 6-1 right now and rolling it up.
Yes.
Yeah, give me a camera. Get me on that Zoom thingy.
100%. After the players were done, it'd be Jerry's turn. 100%.
Okay, Jerry did say he did not see an effort issue in the 25-3 loss at Washington. That's what a lot comes back to me, and we'll talk leadership and Jerry's portion of the leadership. I think you spoke very eloquently and made some great points. As far as coaches leading players to be better, isn't there a limit of how much you can coach guys up? And, you know, if you're just horrible or old or too young, I can't say anything or do anything.
That's why I was saying I went on this rant earlier there, General, because of that. I want Jerry to understand that these coaches are trying to do this, but the players aren't good enough. Or the players are good enough and the coaches aren't. That's where he's got to figure this out.
Gotcha.
Where's the disconnect between the two?
Gotcha. All right, elsewhere here in the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening. Lots of headlines out there talking about trade ideas. You got the trade deadline. You got Andy Dalton hurt. Report here from Ian Rappaport. He had to do a story. Cowboys aren't likely to sign another quarterback this week with Andy Dalton in the league's concussion protocol. I've had people asking about Kaepernick. I think all three of us are on the record. We'd sign Kaepernick if it was our football team.
At least
I wouldn't now. I don't want to put the man in danger.
And number four over here says the NFL does not deserve Kaepernick, and I think he's moved on.
Yes, sir. Yeah, NFL doesn't deserve Kaepernick.
Fair.
That's fair.
Yeah, deserve him after all of that.
That's fair.
If Kaepernick picked up that phone and laughed back at the Cowboys, I wouldn't blame him at all. But if I'm the Cowboys, I would pick it up, and I'd say, hey, maybe it's not this year, but maybe it's next year, right? I think the man deserves a job. There are plenty of people across the NFL that share many similar ideologies. They continue to work. I think, you know, he was sacrificed by the team, by the league, to try to make a statement. And I don't think any owner, particularly Jerry Jones, wants to go back on that. You know, are we not really paying attention to who Jerry is? That would be my question. Like, I like the Kaepernick idea. I don't know. I think it's from maybe young fans that don't recognize the history or the seriousness. Like, Jerry Jones is the guy who was greatly offended by what Kaepernick did. He's also very much the guy who's terrified of politics entering his sports. So he's definitely not bringing in Kaepernick. Maybe if Dalton has a concussion that lingers, they'll go with a different guy. But I'm excited about their indifference at quarterback other than the Kaepernick thing, because it ensures two wins. If Dalton doesn't come back Dalton doesn't come back and play better, they're not going to win another game. This could be first overall pick stuff right here.
Kaepernick. Hey, don't you say those exciting things to me.
God, can you imagine that?
Don't want to get your hopes up.
Don't you get
me all fired up. How about that post-game show after that game? Wow, I bet that last game and it's the first overall pick. Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you guys think that's – I mean, if you started the season right now, they're in the catbird seat. They're not winning another game. They're getting the number one overall pick. It's just the misfortune of the watermelon ball and Michael Gallup's, you know.
Yeah.
God, I wish we could have that watermelon ball back.
It was fun, wasn't it?
It was fun.
While it lasted, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's find out what's coming up with the nosebleed seats here. Wolchuk and Chiafalo coming up 7 to 11 here on your home of the Cowboys, and we'll find out what they have booked for you next in the nation. All righty. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and coming up next, 7 to 11, is the Nosebleed Seats. Wolchuk and Schiafalo, you're going to love these guys, the dynamic duo. They're in the safe space with you. And I believe it is a TD Tuesday. Gentlemen, how the hell are you?
Oh, it is a TD Tuesday.
I love it.
We're feeling good. We're wheeling and dealing. We're making trades.
That's
this
right,
is,
baby.
This is a good day. How are you guys?
Oh, we're outstanding, man.
He gave him Brumsky, bro.
You motorboater.
You
old sailor, you.
How much caffeine do you have coursing through your veins right now, Schiafalo?
Dude, I'll tell you what. There's something about before the show. You get up here about an hour, you know, before the show starts, and, I mean, they already got coffee brewing. I don't know who's up here making the coffee, but it is always hot. It's always on point, and that tank is full. And so I'm just running through it. I'm just, Carter's out there pointing at Lucius. I don't know. Maybe that's why Lucius is always zooming so well. But, yeah, I got to get on the coffee bandwagon, man. I'm 1 in the morning, and then for the show, it's like it's just coursing through my veins.
Well, you're new coffee drinker, aren't you?
I'm
you picked this up a few months ago.
Yeah, so I'm kind of overdoing it right now with the coffee stuff. You become a dad, and then immediately you like coffee.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what happened. I don't blame you.
Coffee, talk show host, dadding, it all goes together right there.
And heck yeah.
I'm enjoying the heck out of your guys' show. I find myself hanging out there in the garage or here in Studio G just rocking out to some of this content, so I look forward to finding out what's coming up on tonight's broadcast. But before we get there, let's get your thoughts on some of these topics of the day. Why do you think Jerry got so upset or went the way he did with Sean this morning?
You know, I think that it's probably a little bit of pent-up frustration, but I feel like Bobby Belt put it nicely, and Bobby will be with us at 8 o'clock tonight, but he was kind of alluding to the fact, you know, when Jerry gets asked some of these tough questions and he's got to face some of these hard truths that he doesn't really want to focus on, he doesn't want to have to deal with some of the stuff of, oh, you don't have any leaders on this team, you don't have any talent on this team, whatever it may be. And so Jerry hears that, and he wants to kind of push back a little bit. And I think that's probably where it comes from. He doesn't want to face the
reality.
Real truth, the reality of, hey, the culture of this thing, and it starts with you, Jerry, and it goes all the way down. There's a problem there, and it's been this way for a long time. And I don't think he wants to really – hey, he doesn't want to get into those waters.
And he cares. I mean, I don't think that we've ever doubted the fact that Jerry cares or that Jerry wants to win. I know we get a lot of people that text in on the Autoflex Leasing fan text, and they think it's more about the money than it is about the winning. I think it is about the winning for Jerry. The thing that's gotten in the way is he's got to win it his way. I mean, he's so about, I've got to get this Super Bowl and have the credit that I architected and I was the one that built this team, right? I mean, Rodis, you've been talking all day. You've been in those meetings. You've been there. And I just think it's all about Jerry wants the credit. Well, quite frankly, it's been 20 years of it, and you haven't made it to a conference championship game. And the only other two teams in the conference that haven't are the Lions and Washington. That is not good company to be in, and they've cycled through several GMs. So, you know what? Whatever you're doing clearly is not working. I understand you won an award for Executive of the Year. Congratulations. It ain't a Super Bowl, and it's not even close.
Felt like one for Jerry, though, didn't it? Didn't it, Broadus?
Probably.
Yeah,
he said he liked that a lot. Yeah,
he did. I asked him in the parking lot there at the Senior Bowl, and he says pretty damn close.
It's pretty telling.
Yeah,
I mean, individual accomplishments are great. It's a validation of all the hard work you put in, and he's done a really good job. You know, it's just done a championship job. You can run teams a lot worse, so I would like to give Jerry credit for some of the things that he's done incredibly well and, you know, pushed American sports forward in ways that were revolutionary, and no other person would have come along and done the kind of stuff that Jerry did. He really is an amazing businessman and sports executive and all that. And it's great that he doesn't run the team like the Arizona Cardinals of my youth or the Cleveland Browns of the last 20 years or whatever it might be. But when it comes to having the ability to put a team over the top and into the championship, he just has not shown the ability to do that thus far. And I think what's got to be tough here is now at 78 years old, right? His birthday was a couple of weeks ago. You're starting to look at this, and it's like got to become real personal, almost scary, right? Am I going to be around? Am I going to be young enough to get credit for it? And now you're watching this team really struggle to a point that maybe it's going to go back into a rebuild. Those are some things I think Belt hit it. You just don't want to face it. and it puts you in a weird place where you don't want to be in denial, but every ounce of your fiber is screaming, no, don't let this be true. You know, you've worked so hard for this, that, and the other thing to be true, and they're trying to take it away from you. And in your remaining years, you might not have the ability. You know, the Super Bowl is very difficult, 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
How many years do you have left? You know, at what point in Al Davis' career were they like, yeah, he's here, but it's really not something he's actually doing. So he's right up against it, and I feel like maybe, you know, his golden opportunity, that window that they had for the last 5 or 6 years is very much closing here. That's what we're witnessing. So do you guys want to see everything get sold off? What do you say, Chiafalo, Wolchuk? We had the first trade today with Everson Griffin. Would you like to see a full-on fire sale, or do you need to hang on to some of these pieces that could help them get back to contention?
I don't know how many pieces you really have that you want to be married to. I mean, that's the thing about football is, unless we're talking about the quarterback, I don't think any one guy, I mean, there's everybody's got a price, and I don't care who that player is. You could be the best guard in the league, Zach Martin. If someone's hitting me with a nice deal here, I will do that immediately. Like, I think Kavanaugh's laid it out very nicely. These guys that are on one-year deals, guys that you don't plan on retaining anyways, get them out of here. I mean, I think that for the most part, now I'm willing to buy on a Quinnen Williams here situation, but otherwise, for the most part, yeah, man, I think it's time to just sell it all, let the young guys get on the field the way you did it with Everson Griffin, perfect. Now we get more Gregory, more and anywhere on your roster that you can do that, I'm willing to do it. I don't care who the guy is. I mean, I know Tyron Smith is out for the season, so he's off the books there, but any big-name player, big-money player, if you can make it work, yes, I'm ready to just go young, and I don't think most of these guys, by the time the Cowboys are going to be really good again, I don't know that most of them are going to be a reason why anyways.
Well, and even projecting down the line, the guys that'll be free agents in 2021, and Jeff, I know you don't want to talk about Michael Gallup, but that's a guy, if somebody's willing to offer you something for him, I would consider trading Michael Gallup. I don't know that you can keep him and re-sign him after 2021. And if a team wants to offer you something now, if it's a third-round pick, as you reported yesterday, Broadus, from your guys,
yeah,
I'd probably rather hold on to Michael Gallup in that case because we can go back and run it back next year.
Sure.
And clearly with Dak Prescott, he's a valuable receiver to have. But for the remainder of this year, Michael Gallup's not doing anything for you. And if there's a team like Green Bay that could use a receiver, or you know, name a team that could use some help for a playoff run here, and they're willing to offer you even a second rounder, I would consider that
for sure.
Because I don't know that you'll be able to keep Michael Gallup, and I'd rather get something for him now than let him walk in free agency in a year and a half.
You've always been a real jerk, Wooly Bully.
I'm sorry.
I've always been a Chiafalo guy.
But I believe in you to find us the next Michael Gallup in the third round, Jeff. That's why I'm willing to get rid of him.
We find receivers. We'll find
I have no doubt.
Exactly.
But I think you mentioned one of the really important things, which is that right now, I think the Cowboys' plan would be, we're making a run at this in 2021 with Tyron and with Lyle Collins, and I think with Dak, we're trying to make a run. So my focus would be, like I saw this Benjamin Albright tweet from 4 minutes ago. He said, teams around the league are thirsty for healthy, playable corners. Guys who were looking at practice squad are getting 53-man offers. So if that means you can get mid to late round picks for Cheeto and Jordan Lewis – it's a year different with the contract. They're not going to be part of what you're doing next year.
Sure.
Unless you're planning to extend one of them, which I would be a little bit surprised by. So if you could turn both of them into a 5 and a 6, go. They're not going to be part of this.
I think those are the kind of moves that sound more like a retool than a – I mean, you guys are talking about kind of blowing up a basketball team where you're like, well, we got to rebuild through the draft, and who knows, we're going to be good again. Don't you think with Dak, the receivers, and the offensive line, you could be one of the top
You were hoping when we were talking about this, you know, going up to the season, you're saying, hey, we just need to be okay on defense.
Yeah, that's all.
You weren't asking it to be like a top 10. You just say, hey, just be okay. You know, and yeah, I feel like that, you know, if you get these cornerbacks, hey, I'm shooting for a fourth round for some of these guys. If you need healthy young guys, here you go. Here's a couple of them. Fourth rounds.
Be awesome.
Yeah. I'm, go ahead, guys.
No, I was just thinking that those guys are no-brainers, those DBs for sure, but would you guys be in on a Zach Martin thing? I mean, I see like the Blogging the Chiefs or whatever is putting up polls to try to go get them a Zach Martin.
No, I'm not trading.
You want to blow me away with 2 ones or something like that? I don't even know if that'd be enough from Kansas City.
Okay.
Because I think the line gives you a chance to be awesome on offense next year and score 32, and Zach's got to be there. We're going to lead with offense and just try to get a couple of good defensive players.
Okay.
And he might be starting to get banged up, so maybe if you did make a move, it'd turn out that you were out in front of it.
Right.
But to me, Zach Martin right now is, if he's not the best guard in football, he's still very, very close.
Right.
And like Tyron, his deal is still below market.
Sure. Yeah. Yep.
So to me, that is worth, okay, call me, obviously your first-round pick, and tell me what else.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, he's part of me trying to win the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah,
and his position flexibility. I mean, don't we feel good if you wanted to put him at right tackle, he'd be a Pro Bowl level right tackle?
Yeah.
The dude's just an insanely talented offensive lineman.
No, I'm with you. I just think that from my perspective, like Tyron Smith, he's on a great deal and it's awesome. And yeah, he's going to be back next year, but he's only going to be back next year for probably 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, do you really
have... That's the guy you look to move. If Sewell's there and you end up taking him, that's when you float Tyron Smith out there for a trade and you take what you can get for him.
Yeah.
Unless you draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open.
You guys gone down that path yet?
Oh, man. I don't know how much
we've
talked
about it. If you have a top two pick,
but...
we haven't talked about it a ton. I know Bobby, and at 8 o'clock, I don't know if he really wants to get into this or not because he went off on Twitter and said how he's kind of sick of it already. But, yeah, I'm absolutely
Lawrence
interested in the Lawrence or Fields.
That's
those two guys are pretty special. They are special prospects.
All right, Bobby Belt at 8. Anything else you guys want to timestamp for us?
KD Drummond at 7:20, and then 10:20 is our TD Tuesday segment. Some of the best calls from college football in the NFL of the best touchdowns of the football weekend.
Love it. Segment here brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Have a great evening, gentlemen. We'll be listening. 7 to 11, nosebleed seats. Here they come.
Thanks, boys.
Man, big couple of afternoons coming up here. What are you expecting to hear from Dez Bryant out there in practice in Baltimore? I know, Brian, you have sources, so you'll just call people and have a full report for us tomorrow. But for now, quick get-off, using his hands to – what are we looking for? Going up and getting the football?
Just going and catching the ball well. I know about that quick get-off stuff, but catch that ball well.
If practice squad Dez Bryant goes out there and starts mossing Marcus Peters, he'll find his way to active pretty quick.
Yeah.
Let's go. All right, 88, we're pulling for you. Till tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. For Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, and Jeff Cavanaugh, I'm Gavin Dawson, and you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Salute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.